of these days, we're going to finally get to that place where victory has taken place. Not just in the life of the Lord Jesus, but the victory that he's placed in each one of us. And I thank the Lord for the victory. That's the only thing that I can do. I can just thank the Lord for it, because it's nothing that I've done to deserve the victory that I have. Tonight, let's go back to the Corinthians. And I'm gonna finish up tonight on this, what I started a couple of weeks ago. I started and got one crown that day, which was the crown of life. And that's the one that's the crown of life that he's speaking about, is the crown of life of salvation. Now, we know that before we can ever receive any kind of crown, before we can receive any kind of blessing, and before we can receive any kind of promises from God, we have to have the crown of life, and that is salvation. And just like I said this morning, we must be born again. Must be born again. But, you know, in this, some of it I didn't go through this morning about the different gifts that there are and with the rewards there. But salvation is the gift of God. It's a gift. I did not have to pay for it. I did not have to go and earn it. I did not even have to go out and start witnessing for him for it. I didn't have to do nothing. Only thing I had to do was just believe in what the Holy Spirit had spoken to me about. And salvation was that gift, not of works, but it was a gift. I did not work for it. I did not earn it. I did not pay for it, and I could not work for it. I could not work hard enough. I could not work long enough. And I sure couldn't pay for it. That's the reason the gift that he has is a free gift. And it's not only just the free gift that he's given us through salvation, but also he gives us the free gift through his promises. His promises is all through the Word of God. From Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:21. His promises all through there. We don't earn them. We can't buy them. But he can sure give them to us. But we have to be faithful unto him. That's the only thing he wants us to be after we're saved, after we've been born again. He wants us to be close to him and give him the praise and give him the honor and the glory. But there's a whole lot of people out here today, they're patting themselves on the back. And they'll come up and they'll pat the preacher, or they'll pat the evangelist on the back, or the Sunday school teacher, or the deacon. They'll come and pat themselves on the back. We don't need nobody else patting us on the back. We don't need it, because Jesus has done it all for us. If anything, we need to tell people, say, don't you look at me and don't you give me no kind of praise. Only thing I want you to do is you look to Jesus and you give him all the praise and all the glory. And if you're not saved, you're not born again, you need to get saved. And if he gets saved, then they can have that eternal life that comes through salvation. Here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of abideth on him. Rewards are according to the works through the Holy Spirit, and that we must obey the Holy Spirit. The believer has the choice of two kinds of building material. And we see that in verse 12 in chapter 3, I believe it is. And he's speaking about the gold, silver, and the precious stone. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's works of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Have two types of building material. There's gold, there's silver, and there's precious stones. And we know that if we build a building upon them like that, which we know that Peter, he is the rock. He is the rock of our salvation. He's the one that we can plant our feet on. And he's the one that where we can take and we can be able to go and sit on that rock. And that rock will not waver one bit. That rock will not give in any direction at all. But building with eternal material. You know, we can either build it with that would last through the centuries. It would last through our lifetime. It will last through the time that this world right here is standing. But you also have a building material and a type of material that is temporal. That is temporary. What this building right here is made of. Yes, it has material in it. But it's not going to last forever. It's not going to last as long as that gold and silver and precious stones. This right here is going to burn. This right here is going to go back to rubble. It's going to go back to the ashes. Because we're building on wood, hay, and stubble. That's what this is. This is what this building looks like. But we can build it up. We can build it up to where we can have God in the midst of it. And as long as God's in the midst of it, then it's nothing is going to come in and harm this building. I believe that with all my heart. That the Lord Jesus, he is so powerful that he can do it all. He can see where the first spark is going to come from that light switch. And he can go there and he can repair that light switch himself. before that light switch gives off another spark and then a night somewhere else. The believer that builds upon this gold, silver, and precious stones shall receive a reward. And that's what Paul was speaking about right here. That's what Paul is speaking about right here. And what I'm speaking about in the last 2 weeks in the crowns. The crowns and the rewards that we're going to receive. With even if it's five, it's number five crowns in the New Testament. And they are rewarded to the believer that fits that particular crown. Like the soul winning crown I just spoke about this morning. And then the crown of life that I spoke about the other week. And then the incorruptible crown that I spoke about this morning. But with all of these different crowns, we must remember that it's nothing that we do to earn that crown. The only way that we'll ever earn that crown is through the Son of the living God, the only begotten Son of God. When we get to heaven, and when we bow down before Jesus Christ, then he's going to hand us our rewards. He's going to hand us our crown right then. And when he hands us the crown, how many crowns are we going to have? Are we going to have four? Are we going to have five? We're going to have three or two? Are we just going to have one crown? And that's the crown of life. Which is the crown of salvation? Is that the only crown that we're going to have? Are we going to have any other crown that will reward us and our effort here on earth? Yes, we're going to be rewarded, but we're going to be rewarded not the way that we think it, but we're going to be rewarded the way the Word of God says. Because the Word of God is settled. It's settled. Settled there in heaven. Never to be changed. Never to be spoken about any other way but the true living God. But we have too many people today. They don't want to study and they don't want to stay. They don't want to stick with the Word of God because they think that they can go and with something that they think that they can understand. Well, the reason people don't understand the King James Bible, and the reason they don't understand it, is because they don't have salvation that comes through the Holy Spirit. Because in John chapter 4, I think it's 14, and 26, it's speaking about the Holy Spirit, speaking about the Comforter. And it says, the Holy Spirit would teach me all things according to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is not going to teach me something I here to do down here tomorrow to go out here and just ride up down the highway. He's not going to teach me how to go up and ride up down the highway and go down that road and everything. No, the Holy Spirit's going to teach me what I must say to the individual that I come in contact with. And yes, and I must come in contact with people because we just don't need to be speaking and rambling out and not nobody hearing it. Because that's nothing but just a bunch of babble. That's just nothing but a bunch of hogwash. That's wasting your energy. And it's wasting your time. And not only that, it's wasting God's time. Because God is on a timetable. And God does operate with a timetable. And he does not waver from that timetable one bit. That timetable that he is on. He has been on that timetable now. Going for a little over 2,000 years. But God the Father that's in heaven, he's been going on that timetable ever since existence. He's been going on for over 6,000 years. He was going, he had a timetable there before Christ was ever born. And then he gave the Son of God the same timetable to do what he had to do. And how long did he do it for? He done it for 33 and a third years. 33 years and 4 months. That's what he done. He done it right to the second, right to the moment that God has spoken to him about. Those who build upon the wood, the hay, the stubble will receive no rewards. They won't receive no rewards. None at all. They will not receive the crown of life. They will not receive. And what the Lord Jesus will say to me and you, I remember the time that you came. I remember the time that you bowed your head and you called upon my name through the Holy Spirit and they asked me to save your soul. And when I did, you earned the crown of life. But it says right here, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, if any man work, shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise is their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos, or Cleopas, or the world, or life, or the depth, or the things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. If that's the only thing that we can go out here and build up, is the wood, the hay, and the stubble, what we're building up, we're building something up that won't take but a second and it's gone. That's the same way that we can take that little thing that we call a tongue, and that tongue can just speak about someone and don't have to speak no 10 or 15 words or 1,000 words. It can only speak 2 or 3 words, and it can destroy that individual's testimony. And when an individual's testimony gets destroyed, it's hard for Christians to take faith in them again. But we, and the only way that we'll ever get by, the only way that I can ever get by without losing my testimony, is that I must proclaim that Jesus Christ, He is the author and He is the finisher of my faith. And He is the one that controls my life, not nobody else. Christian service and its rewards. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto you as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He is my foundation. He's your foundation. That we must build on the foundation of Him. And if we do that, then we'll stay strong. Yes, we're going to be tested. Yes, Satan's going to tell us, no, you're just wasting your time. It ain't only going on and seeing them. The only thing they're going to tell you is that, well, I'll try to make it next Sunday. Or I'll try to make it Wednesday night. Don't let that get to us. Don't let that get to our, allow us to get to the attitude of we don't care. And because we done come to find out, yes, they've told lies. Yes, they've told us a lie after lies. About, yeah, well, I'm going to be there Sunday. But the thing about it is, they said that they would tell me, said, well, I'll be there Sunday. But they did not tell me the Sunday of what year. And that's what they need to tell us. They need to tell us that they need to, we need to just break it down to them. Say, what Sunday are you talking about? Are you talking about the Sunday of 2018 in May? Or are you talking about a Sunday in 2032? But you have got a Sunday on mind. The reason they tell us that is for us to get on with our back. We're not only back in now. Trying to tell them something. We're trying to help them. We're trying to help them that they won't have to go through all the trials and all the tribulations that we've had to go through. That's what, the Lord has taught me. The Lord has taught me so many things that I can go ahead and I should be able to help you or help anybody else. But they can go through some things, but you've got to do it the Lord's way. Yeah, we may want to do something here to church. We may want to come up and say, well, Pastor, I think we need to come up with something to where we can maybe promote the church a little more, to where it may help and draw some people in. To me, if you suggest it, we need to go with it. It does not need to come from the pastor. It does not need to come from the deacons. It needs to come from God and God to listen to the people. But we have so many pastors out here today. Says no, says I ain't. No, I don't think, I just don't think that'll work. I just don't think that'll work. Why do they think
that it won't work.
The reason they think that is because they did not come up with it. That's the only reason they didn't think of it. They didn't come up with it. But if they had come up with it, they would have probably talked about it among some people in the church, among the deacons and among some teachers and among other people, members of the church, and see how the people feel. We don't need to talk to no one else. If we pray earnestly and with a sincere heart in touching the things that they are in heaven, then the Lord Jesus will deliver us the message that is needed for this church. See, the only one that knows exactly what we need is who? It's not me. It's not you. The only one knows exactly what we need for this church to turn around and where people can come in and people can get saved and they can be baptized for the glory of God. I can't do it. You can't. But we can be a part of it. We can be a part of it by doing and what God has spoke to us about doing. You see, God, He has the only answer to it all. He's the only one that can do it. But He has to have help. Oh, no. You mean God just can't come down and do it without us? Help it? No. God's not going to do it that way. God's not going to do it. God could if He wanted to. But that's not what He put in the Word of God. He needs us. He needs the Christian. He needs His children to go out and deliver what He's laid on our hearts. And we must deliver it the way He lays it on our heart. Whether if we deliver it that way, and when we deliver it, it sound, may sound harsh. But if it sounds harsh, and that's what God wants us to deliver, then it's going to take the voice of the harshness to reach the individual. But God. Why don't things get done anymore than what it's doing? I'm not gonna call nobody else's name. I'm not gonna say nobody else's problem about it. But I'm gonna say this. Yes, I'm the problem. I'm the problem. The reason things don't get done because I don't do it the exact same way that God wants me to do it. I'm being honest with you. I'm just being just as honest as I can day long. You need to pray for me that I can do it the way God wants it done. Because don't you think Paul and what Paul had done before he got saved on the road to Damascus and all his stuff that he had done, don't you think that they didn't throw it back up in his face? Say, Paul says, what about last week, Paul? We went down there to that town and had that synagogue, and what did we do? We went in there and we raided the town. We raided that synagogue. We went in there and tore everything up. We tore the building, we had the building burnt, and we even had some people murdered. I said, Paul, if that's what you done last week, now you done turned around. You done turned
oh, your wicked ways and the ways that God wants you to go.
I think the thorn that over there in the book of Romans, in the other places in the Bible, it speaks about the thorn in the side of his flesh. The thorn that irritates him. It irritates him to the point that he don't think of nothing else but that little irritation. Some people say this is his eyesight. Some have said it's this. Some says it's that. I don't know. But what I believe it is, I believe the thorn that's inside of his flesh is the remembrance of what he done before. What he done before. All the Christians that he had murdered. All the family, all the children, all the family members that he had murdered. Maybe Paul did not take the sword and put it through him. Maybe Paul did not take and chop the heads off. But Paul gave the orders. He gave the orders. And the reason he had to give him orders is because he had somebody else to give him the orders and to carry them orders out. Word for word. Verbatim. The crown of righteousness. That is the love that Paul speaks about this book, about this book. Paul is always speaking about this book. This is the only thing that was on Paul's mind, is to keep this book in the laws of this book. And to do it God's way, not his way. You know Paul, you know where Paul got his learning, you know where Paul got his degrees in all the different languages that he earned. He didn't go to no seminar. He didn't go to no school. The only school he went to was a school of hard knocks. There in the desert, where wasn't nobody but him and God. That's where he got all his learning at. And as far as I'm concerned, Paul was one of the greatest men that the Lord Jesus Christ was ever able to use because of what Paul stood for. It wasn't about Paul. It wasn't about his life. It was about the life of Jesus Christ. It was about the love that the Lord Jesus Christ reported. And the love of the appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The strength that God Almighty gave Paul for the course that he was on. Even though Paul knew that Jesus was right there with him, and he was walking with him, and he was talking to him and telling him, But Paul still asked. He still asked the Lord Jesus Christ for strength, the way he could go on. Paul fought the spiritual battle throughout his Christian life. Paul never surrendered. Paul didn't give up. He was there to the end. Where are we going to be at? Are we going to be there to the end? Are we going to be there when the trumpet is blown? Or when we go by the grave? Are we going to be there for the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope and pray that I am. I hope and pray that I may be just a little closer to him. I hope and my prayer, this is my prayer, that each and every day that I become a little more like him. That's what we're supposed to imitate. We're supposed to imitate Jesus Christ. We don't have his thoughts. We don't have his mind. But we do have him. And as long as we got him, we don't need nothing else. Nothing else at all. I don't need nothing else. They can come and take my home away from me tomorrow. They can come and take my automobiles away from us this week. Even the government can come by and say, well, Donnie, you're not going to have no more money coming in because the government is broke. We can't give you a check each month now. With all of that, if I lost it all. Yes, I would probably complain because I had this flesh over the Spirit of God. And yes, it's fighting. The inward spirit is fighting with the outward spirit. The outward spirit is Satan serving him. But the inward spirit is supposed to be serving God. But with all of that, if I lost all of that, I could not complain. Only thing I can say, thank you, God, for allowing me to use it for a little while. Thank you, Lord. But see, the Lord, if the Lord takes away one thing, he's going to give you something back. He's going to give you something back. I tell people this all the time. When I go and I talk to them, I speak to them. They tell me, say, well, preacher, says, you know, I don't think God would be pleased with me if I come to the church that I am now, the way I am, and the things that I do. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he will. Because he loves you. It's nothing you can change. You can't go out and change your lifestyle. You can't do that on your own. Because Satan's not going to allow you to do it. I'll tell you one thing. If you do, if you say, God, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. I'm just a sinner on the way to hell. But I want to be the sinner that is saved by grace on the way to heaven. See, that's the only difference between me and that lost sinner right here. He's a lost sinner on the way to hell. I'm a saved sinner on the way to heaven. That's the only difference between me and them. The only difference. I'm no better than they are, and they are no better than I am. We're all put in the same basket. We're all put in the same bucket. And when God dips his hands down into that basket or bucket, and he pulls us out, we'll be a new creature. Why? Because see, that's the only thing God can use. God cannot use something the devil has. Just can't be used that way. And the last crown that we have in the New Testament, we find it over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, 3 and 4. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being Lord over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, for do I know, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If that's all my motive, if that's the only thing that I'm motivated to do, is to come in and to please you and to serve you, then I'm going to be an individual that's going to be most miserable. Why? Because I'm not serving God. We need to be on the same oasis. We need to be on the same spear. We need to be on the same topic. We need to be the same. We need, if you need something, and if you go out here, and if you do something for God, then I know that if I know that you're doing that, then I'm supposed to be here praying for you. I'm supposed to be lifting you up here to the Lord Jesus Christ, where he can give you strength, where he can give you the very words that you may say to that individual. Same way with me. If I happen to go out here, you're supposed to lift me up to God. You're supposed to ask God to give me the very words that I need to say to the individual. Because if I say the wrong words, then that may be it for them. If I say the wrong words, they may not ever want to come and know of God that I know if I say the wrong word. We must say what the Lord lays on our hearts. And when we do that, and yes, when the Lord lays it on our heart, we better do it. Because, see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not going to allow the Holy Spirit to lay something on your heart or on my heart to speak to someone about that is lost. He's not going to tell us what to speak to where we can go speak to them. We must have full confidence and none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, one part of the scripture said, you must try the Spirit. you must try the spirit. Because if you don't watch out, you can think you're serving God and you're doing what God wants you to do. The whole time, you're doing it what Satan wants you to do. And Satan's got that little trap right at the end. Right at the end, when you get ready, and when you get to the end of speaking to someone, or witnessing to someone, that Satan will come in, and he will get you all confused. He will get you all baffled to the point that you'll say things that you don't even realize you said. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servants of Jesus Christ. He said, I can't be a servant of him. He says that I can't preach his word. He says I can't even read his word among people. What he says, if I seek to please man and don't seek to please him, then he's not going to please me. He's not going to bless me. And the only thing that I'm going to have when I get to glory is the crown of life. The salvation that comes through the Holy Spirit. Now, the salvation that I received come by the Lord Jesus Christ through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because it was the presence of the Holy Spirit that spoke to my heart. Like I've said before, and I'll say it again, God has his job to do. God is the president. He is the head honcho, if you want to call it that. He has certain things that only he can do. And only he wants to do. Because he don't want to go over his son. He don't want to do anything. To where he has taught his son to do. Same way with his son. The son don't want to do anything. To where the father has taught the Holy Spirit to do. Each one of them has their specific job, their specific duties, their specific language. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. To his own labor. Am I laboring for the church? Am I laboring for the people I hear? Or who am I laboring for? I'm laboring for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, the Lord, he labored while he was here on earth. And then after he left earth, and after he went back to heaven, he had Peter, he had John, he had all the others, he had the disciples there to go and do his work. He had taught them to do it. And just like Paul, he had Paul to carry out what the father asked his son to start. Now Paul's gone. Paul's gone to heaven. John's gone to heaven. The disciples is gone to heaven. All the ones back then that served God and walked with God and talked to people about God.
Just like Maze Jackson, he's not here anymore. He's not here anymore to labor. Just like Brother Poovy, he's not here anymore to labor for the Lord. Brother Bobby Robinson over there at Kernersville Gospel Baptist Church over there, he's not here anymore to labor for the Lord. He labored for him while he was here. But now somebody else has to take up that mantle or take up that torch and has to run with it. We have to have somebody that is willing to pick up the torch and to go with it.
Just think on this. And I'm going to close with this thought. Just think on this. We know what God can do, right? And we also know that God wants to do it. But let me ask you something. With the number of people that we have, if we really don't get down to business, if we don't really get down and put our heads to the floor and cry out, and I mean not, I'm talking about, not praying, I'm talking about crying out to God to give us something, to give us something that what we must do, that somebody else could be able to come in and maybe take over. Somebody else to come in and to be able to pick up where you left off if you're not able to do it anymore. If I'm not able to preach anymore, do we hit the church have anybody else in mind to come and to preach the word of God? Oh yeah, you can go ahead and you can get all the preachers you want. The woods are full of them. But they're not preaching nothing. They're preaching just a little sermonette. And they're preaching something that don't touch the heart. If that's the only thing that I'm going to do, just stand up here and just teach you a love story and preach you a love story every Sunday and every Wednesday night, then what have I done? I ain't done nothing. I've done nothing but hurt you. And I'm ruining my testimony. But I'm hurting you. I don't need to worry about what the Lord gives me to preach. Because if he gives it to me to preach, I'm going to preach it. If it's speaking about me, so be it. If that's what the whole message is going to be about, is about me, so be it. I just don't want to be anything else. I just want to be the real thing. The real thing. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, in what we have studied and what we've learned and what we've preached about, the different crowns in the New Testament, Father, for the believer. Lord, help us, Father, to maybe take them crowns, each one of them, and just get in the Word of God and just read it and study it and read it and study it and reread it and study it some more. And allow you to speak to hearts. And allow you to speak to the heart. To where their life can completely be changed. Not for the better. Maybe their living is close to you as anybody could ever live. But Father, we can always get just a little closer. Father, we thank you for this message. Thank you, Father, for touching my heart. Thank you for these people here. I love each and every one of them. And I know you do, Lord. I know that you love them because you died for them. And I love them also, Father. I really do, Father. I love them. Is there any way at all possible I can help them? Any way. If I have the means to do it, let them not to be ashamed to come to me. Father, because what individual talks to me about, and what they tell me, if they ask me not to tell nobody, then I'm not supposed to tell nobody but you, Lord. Because I know that I can come to you in behalf of the people. And I can pray for them. I can lift them up to you. And Lord, and I have all the assurance, I have all the confidence that I have, that I can put it in you, your hands, that you will not share it to no one else. And when you do answer it, Lord, when you do answer that prayer, Father, that no one else would know about the prayer that's been answered, except for the individual that requested the prayer. Lord, be with our families. Father, be with them each and every day of this week. And Father, bring us all back this coming Wednesday evening, Father. And Father, that we can be able to share something with somebody else. That yes, that we can just give a little praise report. And what we've seen you do. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen.